This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's Thursday, October 12th, 2017. And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have cloudy, cool conditions. Expect a high of 62, but mostly in the 50s at the lakefront. It's 58 degrees right now at O'Hare.
Now, markets are resembling a ride at Great America. They are up and down, or at least they have been throughout the morning. Let's get the latest now from Elisa Parenti of Bloomberg.
That's right, Rob and Chris, and actually we're teetering near the top here. The Dow is down 3 points, but remember, any of the moves today come after yesterday's record-breaking close for all three benchmarks, so very little changed at those high levels. The blue chips off four, NASDAQ up one, S&P down one. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is unchanged. A nearly 11% spike in gas costs following Hurricane Harvey boosted wholesale prices in September by the most in 5 months. The Producer Price Index finds an overall 0.4% hike in wholesale inflation. The year-over-year increase is 2.6%. Now, one measure of the job market looks to be getting back to something close to normal after the hurricanes. Applications for jobless benefits fell last week to the lowest level since late August. That was, of course, before the big storm sent jobless claims soaring. So on the week, claims down 15,000 to a total 243,000. Also, some big banks opening their books today. Citigroup posted a profit 8% better than forecast. JP Morgan Chase also beat forecast for earnings and revenue, but shares of both of those companies are in the red. Citigroup actually down more than 2% right now. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we are looking at bank earnings and Fed minutes and a possible interest rate hike in December.
And it's Technology Thursday. IKEA is going to use augmented reality, which will allow you to visualize how that piece of furniture will look when you load it into your car and assemble it and take it to your home. And then we'll also talk about some big moves in the airline industry. Southwest Airlines is introducing service to Hawaii.
Markets are pretty much on the flat line today. The Dow Industrials down 1.5 points, the NASDAQ up 3, and the S&P 500 down by 1.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
U.S. producer prices increased this week while jobless claims fell. Joining us now to discuss today's numbers is Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. Joel, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about the producer price increase. Just another sign that the economy is still digesting the hurricanes that made landfall last month.
Well, undoubtedly, a lot of the, pretty sharp increase came from the fact that gasoline prices surged. But we've already had about half of that back down, and we'll probably see most of it in the next couple of weeks. But the real issue that we see in these numbers is not that it was simply a gasoline-driven, hurricane-driven price increase, but there were increases in services. Service costs were up fairly solidly, and a variety of goods prices. So there's an underlying bit of pressure that's starting to build in the economy as it continues to move forward.
And let's also talk about the jobless claims. One of the things that came up in the employment report for September, which was the first one to show the economy losing jobs in quite some time, was that it was basically hurricane-related disruption. As you look at the jobless claims now, does everything seems to be going back on track and going back to the trend that we had been seeing?
Oh, absolutely. The level of claims did drop sharply last week. We're down to the level where it was before the hurricanes hit, and it's just telling me that we're picking up where we left off. And indeed, we had 105,000 jobs lost in the restaurant sector in September. That's going to mostly turn around. So don't be surprised if that really weak September employment report turns out to be a solid one. And I think the job claims numbers is supporting that view.
Joel, we are watching the Fed. They seem very much wanting to raise interest rates in December, but there is a low inflation component here. Explain what the conflict is.
Well, the problem is that the Fed wants to raise rates not because they're facing an economy that's, you know, too hot or inflation that's getting out of control, but because rates are too low and their balance sheet is too high to be in position that if another recession hits, they can deal with it. They basically don't have any arrows in their quiver. What they're trying to do is get rates up so that if something happens, they have the ammunition to fight any economic slowdown. To do that, though, they really need inflation to pick up. It's too low. If they raise rates and it slows the economy even a little bit, people will worry that inflation, you know, will fall further, and that creates real problems for the economy. They'd like to have inflation to even 2.5% so that they can get rates up and they get their balance sheet down so that they're ready for the next move. Keep in mind, we're in the third longest expansion on record, and by the spring we could be in the second one, and that gets them worried that a recession, you know, could be coming, not necessarily right away, but sometime in the future.
Inflation right now is below 2%. Thanks so much for joining us today, Joel. Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania.
Markets continue to hug the flat line this afternoon. The Dow is down to fraction, the S&P 500 down to fraction, and the NASDAQ is up 3.5. WBBM News Time, 1220.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Citigroup and JPMorgan Chase have both released their earnings report. Shares of both companies are also lower. We are joined by Jeff Hart, principal at Sandler O'Neill and Partners in Chicago. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, Jeff. Give us your take on what we're seeing from these two major banks.
Yeah, excuse me. Good afternoon. I actually thought the results were pretty good. They were actually better than we were expecting. I think the trouble is that the stocks had a pretty nice run-up into reporting results, and there were a few kind of incremental negatives that came out of the calls, primarily around credit card, credit quality, but maybe, you know, a little bit on net interest income as well. So we're seeing the stocks a little softer here. I think it's just more a function of they had a nice rally and there was some incremental negative kind of news on the call. As far as the fundamental outlook or kind of earnings estimates, I mean, the quarters were good, and I think the outlook remains good as well.
Well, banking kind of underlies the U.S. economy. So what do we take away about the economy from seeing these reports?
Well, you know, we've seen it's kind of been odd lately that we've had kind of a lack of loan growth again, specifically on the commercial side. And there's different things you can point to, whether it's, you know, the uncertainty around tax reform. Is it possible that interest expenses won't be deductible for corporate taxers, you know, going forward? Is this kind of a delay to it? So you've got some things like that dragging. But I think the underlying message is the economy is pretty strong out there. I mean, businesses are still looking to expand or growing, and you know, consumer credit quality is still looking pretty good. Some of the concerns on credit card credit quality, I think, relate more to growth than really deterioration in the consumers. I think that the underlying economic picture remains pretty good and is still probably moving in the right direction.
Doing this program is kind of like being the meteorologist in San Diego in this economy. You just keep saying, well, it's 75 and sunny every day. But if you take a look at if you were to examine some of these quarterly reports from the big banks, what would you have to see out of, you know, their internal numbers that would make you think, there's trouble ahead?
Well, if we saw, I think, some more significant deterioration in some of the credit quality metrics, both consumer and commercial side, if we really saw a turn there, which we haven't seen, things are still very favorable, that would cause me to pause some. Or if we could, you know, saw loan growth kind of actually contracting as opposed to just growing at a slower pace, that would probably raise a red flag as well. You know, investment banking and trading and stuff, you know, the revenues tend to lag, but to the extent we had kind of management teams talking about investors starting to pull back more, corporations being a little more risk averse and not wanting to invest, that'd be a concern too. But as we sit here, we're really not getting any of those. So it kind of is consistent with that slow but steady GDP growth picture.
The Fed is considering, in its minutes anyway, upping interest rates in December. How do you feel about that?
I'm in favor of it. I don't have a problem with them doing it. I think that the underlying economic growth is strong enough to support it. And from as someone that covers the banks, a lot of the asset sensitivity or kind of a benefit from higher interest rates for the big guys is linked to the shorter end of the curve. So, it would be good for the companies that cover. I think the economy can handle it as well. So it's probably the right thing to keep doing.
Thanks a lot, Jeff Hart, principal at Sandler O'Neill & Partners in Chicago. Let's get the latest in the markets now from Elisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
Rob, we're narrowly mixed with the Dow off a fraction. NASDAQ is higher by 4 points right now at 66.07. That's a fresh high. S&P giving back a fraction. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is higher by less than 1%. The Army is studying new unmanned drone trucks made by General Motors. They use fuel cells to achieve a high degree of autonomy, safety, and nearly silent operation in the battlefield. The Pentagon's been looking at a GM hydrogen fuel cell car, a Chevy ZH2. It looks like a regular SUV, both of those at Fort Carson in Colorado. We've got a check of the grain markets. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
USDA came out with their stocks and acreage report at 11, and we had corn from that go up 8 cents. At the moment, it's backed off. We're at 350, up 4 cents in December. Beans were up 32 cents in November. I mean, we are now in November at 988.5, up 23. And we had wheat go up 4.25 after being down 4.5. Right now, we're down 1.75, 431.5. USDA report pushing corn and bean prices higher. And this is Pete at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. Crude oil futures are lower, down more than 1% to $50.68 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55 live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
A mixed picture as the big banks release earnings news.
Technology Thursday using high tech to sell furniture.
Southwest Airlines says it will start flying to Hawaii next year.
A Northside alderman drops out of the race for Illinois governor.
President Trump signs an executive order to make lower premium health care plans more widely available.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow down 3, the NASDAQ up almost 3, and the S&P 500 off by a fraction.
AccuWeather says cloudy and cool today, a high of 62, but it'll stay in the 50s along the lakefront. Right now, it's 58 degrees in Chicago under cloudy skies.
The stocks are pretty close to the flat line today. We're joined by Scott Kays, president of Kays Financial Advisory in Atlanta. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Scott?
Hi, thanks for having me, guys.
The Dow and NASDAQ the NASDAQ's up a little bit, the Dow's down a little bit, but both are trading at all-time highs. Tell us how you're feeling about the market right now.
Overall, I am bullish on the market for a few reasons. One reason is there's just not a good reason to sell right now. And, we've had record low volatility. Every time there seems to be any selling, the buyers just step right in. And I think there's really about three themes that the market's looking at right now. One of them is rising interest rates, which ultimately is a good thing. Number two is a strengthening economy. But I think the big thing that the market is just fixated on right now is the possibility of tax cuts. And I think, again, people are just afraid to sell right now because we could wake up any morning. The Republicans have had some meetings, and they have agreed on a tax cut situation, and you see an immediate jump in the market. And I think people are just afraid to sell.
The tax cuts make you nervous?
No, not at all. I mean, I think the economy is doing well even without the tax cuts. But I think the tax cuts could have a major impact in a lot of ways. First of all, I do think cutting taxes does strengthen the economy. I think that would be a good thing. But even just beyond that, if you just look at the simple math, my gosh, if you cut corporate tax rates from 35, let's say they get down to 20, since earnings are measured after taxes, immediately, without anything changing, you have a sizable jump in earnings. depending upon the ultimate bracket, maybe anywhere from 7 to 12% jump in corporate earnings. Without a doubt, part of the package would be repatriation for all this cash overseas. You've got $2.5 trillion in cash sitting in these companies' books overseas. If you just bring back a trillion of that, 40% of what's over there, that would have a great impact in a number of ways, especially, though, from share buybacks would drive earnings up. So, again, there's just not a compelling reason for people to sell right now.
The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park and also by GWC Law. There was a piece from John Harwood, who was the political reporter for CNBC. It was this morning comparing the efforts to overhaul the tax system in 2017 compared to the successful tax reform effort that was spearheaded by President Reagan in 1986. And he said, if you take a look at the situations the president finds himself in and also just the general attitude on Capitol Hill, tax reform or tax cuts do face significant headwinds in 2017, even with Republicans controlling all branches of government. What happens to the stock market? What happens to the business community if tax reform or tax cuts don't happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what that boils down to is how much of tax cuts is actually built into current prices. And I will tell you a little bit, but I think there's been enough uncertainty. It's not completely at all built into the prices. So you might see a drop of maybe as much as 3 to 5% immediately. But like I said, even without the tax cuts, the fact is the global economy is strengthening. The U.S. economy is accelerating. Earnings are growing at double-digit rates right now. If we see a drop like that, personally, I think it would be a buying opportunity.
Where would you want your money right now? What stocks would you want to be in?
Well, I still think the financials are probably the cheapest area. And of these three themes that I've talked about, probably one of the most certain is rising interest rates. I think that's one of the more certain themes. And so who profits from that? Without a doubt, the financials. You've got the banks, which also are going to be profiting from less regulation, but you also have insurance companies. So that's one area that I would look at. With the global economy doing what it's doing, we like industrials. I even like GE. I think GE is undervalued and underappreciated right now. Companies like Emerson Electric. And, my gosh, with the geopolitical situation, defense contractors, they're a little bit on the pricey side, but I think the probability of any sizable drop in that area is negligible.
You didn't mention Amazon, which seems to be the queen bee right now on everybody's list.
Yeah. We don't have Amazon in our portfolio. I'm not enamored with it, as a lot of people are. The fact is they have to keep margins so low to keep growing at the rate they're going. We don't know when margins are going to pick up. When they do, I think it's a given that their growth will slow down. You're probably going to have low margins for a long time there. I think people are buying on a lot of speculation and where it's valued right now. I would not be a buyer of Amazon.
Thank you very much, Scott Kays, president of Kays Financial Advisory, based in Atlanta, Georgia. Ahead in Technology Thursday, we'll show you how high tech can help you buy furniture.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and this afternoon we're talking about technology that can make buying furniture a lot easier. Joining us now is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor of the Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, welcome back to the program. So IKEA is going to use augmented reality to allow you to visualize in a much richer way how a piece of furniture will look in your home.
That's exactly right. And to put it in context, augmented reality is totally distinct from virtual reality, VR, which a lot of people know it by. But those goggles you see people sort of standing around looking, to my eye, a little silly, on their own, having an experience that nobody else is sharing. That's cool for gamers. People love it. But AR, augmented reality, allows an app on your phone or, say, on your tablet. And it doesn't require any equipment at all other than your phone. You hold up the phone, tap an app. In this case, IKEA's app is called IKEA Place. and you tap on it, and all of a sudden you can place any furniture that IKEA has put into its app into your setting. So whatever you're looking at, you put a couch there, you put a stool there, a shelf there, it doesn't matter. And the point is you can shop and get a sense of what the product's going to look like in your space before you actually get it there.
And this this is something you can do in your own home as opposed to going to the store and then having a debate with your significant other about, well, would this look good in our living room or would this look good in the family room? And that sort of thing that we've all experienced at one time or another.
Oh, yeah. No, the cost of marriage therapy is going to drop significantly because of this app, I think. There are a lot of benefits. And by the way, it's not limited to just being in your home. You can literally take the app anywhere. You could see if there's outdoor furniture. You could see what it looks like on your back porch, for example. And by the way, IKEA is hardly alone in this. This is what's really exciting. Augmented reality is very quickly becoming mature, almost lapping virtual reality. And IKEA is doing it, of course, but so is Wayfair, which is a very large sort of home goods place. And Amazon is going to be bringing its entire catalog to bear with the same kind of app. In other words, an app that would allow you to put anything that Amazon sells in your home or in your location.
And the augmented reality, I mean, this is, in a way, it's kind of like an offshoot of those Snapchat filters that kids enjoy playing with. So if the same technology that allows a child to look like a dog or a mouse is giving retailers now the leg up that can make them potentially billions of dollars.
That's exactly right. The stakes are huge. And by the way, you know, anybody who heard about that sort of Pokemon Go craze last year, it's the same exact idea, placing objects that are not there in your reality. So it's augmenting your reality. But as you pointed out, the stakes are huge. Everybody's shopping habits are changing. It's gone from brick and mortar to online, and now it's going to be going from online to augmented reality, and this is going to usher it in very quickly.
As augmented reality takes off, let's talk about the disruptive factor on not only brick and mortar stores, but perhaps online retailers that don't have augmented reality. How can they compete?
First of all, they don't know. The short answer is that without this, and this is, and I can't overstate this, the folks that are doing this, that is, and by the way, Apple's pushing it. Apple has what they call AR kit, augmented reality kit, that they'll send to anybody and help that retailer become an augmented reality retailer. So that's the only option currently available. So any retailer right now who's interested in getting into this can do it via an app, and Apple is certainly leading the charge here. There are others, of course, too. But again, the most important thing for retailers to recognize is that shopping habits will change, that the revenue will be changing its course, and this is the way it's going to happen.
Paul, thanks for joining us. Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show, Technology Thursday, sponsored by Baird. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, a new route for Southwest Airlines.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Southwest Airlines says it's going to start flying to Hawaii next year. We're joined by Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com. Welcome back to the program, Joe. How will this affect the other airlines?
Hello, Chris. Nice to be with you. It's not going to affect anybody right now. We've been able to
We appear to be having some trouble with Joe's phone, so we will try and get back to him in just a moment. We'll try and reestablish contact with Joe Brancatelli from JoeSentMe.com, talking about Southwest Airlines, which will be introducing service to Hawaii before too long. And one of the questions we will ask Joe if we get back to him is that how this will affect their route structure, because they don't have the traditional hub-and-spoke model. What Southwest does is just positions airplanes around the country so that they can have flexibility and just kind of hop from place to place to place across the continental U.S. And when you have planes in Hawaii, that does create some rather interesting issues involving fleet maintenance. So we'll check in with Joe in just a moment. But first, WBBM News Time, 12:52.
Take your family to Cabela's events this weekend and enjoy free seminars, activities, prizes, and more. While you're there, save on your favorite brands like Avian X, Liberty, and Browning. going on now through October 25th, only at Cabela's.
Imagine a financial partner committed to building better tomorrows. I'm Randy Lyon, Vice Chairman of Baird. As a provider of trusted financial services in Chicago, Baird is committed to making the future brighter for you and the community we share. That's why we support local organizations like Teach for America, Lurie Children's, and United Way, because we genuinely care about Chicago.
Imagine the power of you and Baird. Visit BairdChicago.com.
WBBM News Time, 12:52. We are rejoined by Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com. Joe, welcome back to the program. The question I have for you is, with if Southwest is introducing service to Hawaii, how will this affect their route structure and their plane utilization? The thing that makes Southwest Southwest, basically, when you have planes that are literally half a world away from the continental U.S.?
Well, I think the first thing you need to know is that we're not talking tomorrow. Don't go to Midway expecting to get a flight to Hawaii on Southwest. This is 12 to 18 months away. They need to get federal approval for the new jet they have, which are also still 737s, fly over water. It's called ETOPS. It's very complicated, but the process takes 12 to 18 months. So we're really not talking what Southwest can do until this time next year or even into 2019. So in a way, this is really fake news that Southwest threw out there just to get people interested in them and talking about them.
Could this, this, if in fact it becomes reality, having another a system in the works, couldn't that be good for passengers?
Oh, absolutely. Especially for Chicago-based passengers who will be able to fly from Chicago. There won't be a nonstop from Chicago. They'll have to go Chicago to somewhere in California. The problem is we don't know where in California Southwest says it'll fly from. We don't know where in Hawaii they're going to. So it's just so far in advance of things that it makes it very complicated for a traveler to figure out what it means. I wouldn't stop planning for a trip on United or American right now going to Hawaii if you wanted to go next year, because I don't think it's worth the risk for you as the traveler. And that's who I concern myself more with, not so much with the airlines of manipulating us into thinking, but what does it really affect us as travelers?
Thanks a lot, Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com. And you will find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at CBSChicago.com/audio and the all-new radio.com app.
We wrap up the noon business hour. Let's take a look with Elisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, we're divided once again. The Dow is lower by 8 at 22,864. NASDAQ up 2, S&P down 1. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up a fraction. Netflix and Amazon were helping the NASDAQ and hurting media companies. A Guggenheim analyst who is warning that declines in cable subscribers and rising competition from Amazon and Netflix could be threats to Disney, AMC Networks, and Viacom, and Disney was one of our biggest decliners. This is the first day of trading for the car shopping website Car Gurus. The company priced its IPO at $16 a share. It could have charged more. Right now, the stock has almost doubled in value. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago. We continue to keep an eye on business and report at 25 and 55, 24 hours a day. From the MB Financial Bank Studios, MB means business. This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Thanks for joining us for the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Be sure to listen to News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM throughout the day at 25 and 55 as we continue following the news that affects your money.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.